Yo, 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 what's happening?
What's happening, brother? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling great. Everybody, everybody, welcome to Religiously Incorrect.
What's up, everybody? Come on, join in, tap in. Let me see your face.
I want to see your face. I want to see your face. You're not invited to show your face, but I'll take your comments.
Show your face. It's all right. Show your face. We want to see you.
Not if you're a Browns fan. Not if you're a Browns fan. I don't want to see you.
If you're a Browns fan, holler at your boy today.
To the Browns.
Holler at your boy today.
Good win, guys. Even though y'all let Dak put up 500 million yards on y'all, but he was coming back, so he had to.
He been putting up 500 yards every week and losing every week.
Yeah, those are the worst kind of stats. I mean, it's easy to have a bunch of yards like that when you're constantly coming from behind and got to chase people. Yeah. But dude is tight, but you guys played well. Got to give it to you.
We got big ups, big ups to him, man. They just done a phenomenal job. Tremendous job. I'm happy to see him rolling like that. I'm happy to see him use the run to get the pass game going. So,
okay. Well, you know, we ain't got no game right now because everybody has COVID on the Titans. So,
speaking of COVID,
this week, Jeff, have you ever seen a more chaotic week?
Man, it is nuts. I mean, you don't know. I mean, obviously, we know that it's true, but you don't know how much of a ploy it is to gain votes. So you don't know if it's the real deal. And, you know, people will use stuff to get a sympathy vote.
Well, even if it's not intentional, it's just what it does to the whole landscape. You know, what it does to our minds. I mean, we were already all become amateur conspiracy theorists about everything already. I mean, and this isn't just with this era. This has gone back a while now. The internet era, social media era, everything is just a skeptical. What does it really mean? What's really behind it? And from Tuesday on, man, every day I felt like it can't get any worse.
Right.
Tuesday had to be the lowest point in American politics.
Oh, my God.
It was outside of like an actual assassination or, you know, some of that nature, actual attempts at political discourse had to be one of the worst.
From interrupting, you know, to not stop, not listening to the moderator, which, I mean, he basically just got beat up the whole show.
Yeah, he got punked. Chris Wallace got punked the whole time.
I mean...
Yeah, and I mean, it reminds me of the chaos that we look at in other countries, and we always felt like it could never come here. And we've seen, you know, leaders say incredible, crazy stuff. We've seen like the parliaments fighting each other, like in the Philippines or you know other places. They go into blows, and I'm like, this is America.
Where we are. I saw somebody post, and I thought it was a pretty. You know, the next one, they ought to have soundproof booths.
Oh, absolutely.
And you just cut it off. And, you know, after that 2 minutes is over, you cut them off and they can't speak until, you know, you push that till you see that green button go. You got a green and a red in there, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They're going to have to control it. They're going to have to control it, man. I mean, you know, it's when my 12-year-old, 10-year-old and 6-year-old are watching on TV with me and they're saying, you know, Dad, why are these two guys acting like this? Right. And they are the most scrappiest, fightingest kids you ever want to meet. You already know that, Jeff. It's like WWF over here with them kids. And when they're telling me that they're watching this disrespect on TV, it tells you something. When a 6-year-old is saying, Daddy, why is he acting like that?
Right.
Daddy, that's rude.
Right. And you know, I'm all about Biden. I can say that on Religiously Incorrect. He is like my sarcastic uncle. He's like, you know, just this old guy who, you know what I mean?
He's an old curmudgeon. He's like a get off my lawn kind of guy.
Right, yeah. That's him. Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Don't ride your bikes on my lawn.
Can you believe this guy? Keep on yapping. Keep on. He says stuff like, that's malarkey.
Here's my thing. You know, and I was talking about it in Sunday school today. It's to the point where it's almost like a, you know, did you cry wolf? Did you cry wolf? When you've said so many times that all this is fake and all this isn't real and I'm not wearing a mask and this and that, and then you end up with the very disease that you basically banned everybody or talked about everybody else for having, how are we really supposed to feel?
You know, we know the Christian answer, you know, and sometimes we're almost too good at giving the Christian answer because it almost ignores, Jeff, to be honest, what we really say, even biblically. Biblically, before something really bad happens to somebody, we say stuff like, whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap.
Right.
I just preached and you preach today. I just preached about, man, you know, if you're out here making street moves, you might suffer street consequences and all that. But let somebody's son die in the street. It's not like I'm gonna get up and preach that sermon that harshly. I might say some things, you know, to warn a generation, but we all kind of pull back. But let's just be honest, and this might be a rough honesty that we have to maybe devote a whole show to. We cannot pretend like this is not, if we were looking at it strictly biblically and maybe even prophetically, that this isn't meant to be a humbling experience for this individual who has mocked every single individual in their circumstance, from sick people. I saw a clip of him mocking Hillary Clinton when she had pneumonia,
you know,
mocking people in wheelchairs, reporters with disabilities. It would be foolish of us, because biblically we believe that what you put out is what you're going to get back eventually. So while I pray for health and I don't wish ill on anybody, I can't pretend like there is not somewhat a vestige of fulfillment of what we preach. And if it isn't, then maybe we should stop saying and act like it.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm going to be honest. Even as a pastor, somebody who loves God, but used to be, you know, had a little thug in him.
You know,
when he talked about that man's dead son, I wanted to go to blows. I mean, because for me, that's the last thing, you know, that's the last thing you do as the leader of a free world, to throw that up. You know what I mean? It's, come on, man.
To disregard the first son who is deceased, and then disrespect the living son who had an addiction. Absolutely. I don't know of a man. Biden got my vote off of the restraint. I mean, if that's not godly restraint and temperance and long suffering, I don't know what is. I don't know what is.
He was thinking on things that were pure and
holy
and true.
He did not let his good be evil spoken of. I mean, you cannot call that anything for nasty. And I'll say it, because we're not shy about it, Jeff. You know, we'll be a little bit better with our guests, but we're not shy about it. Sometimes when I do ask people who support him, including my pastor friends, my ministry friends who support the president, they'll say things like, you know, I don't always agree with how he says things or how he does things. I don't always agree with his tone. I'm like, this is so far beyond somebody just speaking slightly irreverently. This is far beyond somebody who drops a curse word every once in a while or has a rough demeanor. This is literal ignorant, as ungodly a demeanor and a character as you can possibly. Nobody on the street in any other job, profession, ministry, volunteer work could ever get away with that. And people say, oh, that's just how they are.
And I'm just gonna say it, and I don't care what nobody say, and they still might dislike it. If Obama would have said anything close to
it
would have been front page of every paper. Headline.
He couldn't wear a tan suit, Doc. I mean, that's just the way it was. But listen, I mean, of course, and I said it this morning in church, I'm praying for the 207,000 plus who have lost their lives and their families and their loved ones, as well as those who are in leadership. But I hope it's a wake-up call. And I do pray for the man's salvation and that he sees the error. I don't count on it, though. I don't count on it. But let's not belabor that point, because, Jeff, we have a wonderful guest with us today.
Yes, sir.
Our subject, this is how you know we're a preacher. My subject is...
Put a tag on the text.
I would have put a tag on the text. Anyway, our theme this week is faith on the field.
Yes, sir. Faith
on the field, and we have a wonderful guest who is a dynamic young man who is making a change, who is impacting the lives of young men, and I might add young women, because even though he might coach a male sport, all young people look up to him. Not only is he a coach in high school football, but he is a minister of the gospel, a married man, an educated man. He's got his degree, MBA. I told him I'm hating on his degree. You know what I'm saying? Just hate. But hey, I love it to see educated black men impacting our communities. Let's give it up for our religiously incorrect guest, Coach Bill Dungey. Give it up.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Todd, don't you look like one of the guest preachers after you just introduced him?
Brother. He had that humble look.
Ooh, y'all said all that about me.
His life scripture is.
Oh, man.
How you been, Bill? How you been? How's it going?
I've been real good. How you guys been?
Wonderful, man. Appreciate you being on the show today, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your busy schedule, you know what I mean? Did y'all win on Friday?
We did. We got the dub 28-7 on Friday. So
who y'all beat? The Boys Club?
We beat Grove City Eagles. We off to a 4-0 start. So shout out.
4-0. That's wonderful, man.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
So, let's just get down to brass tacks. We'll ask some football because we're football fans here. So we'll talk football and we'll talk life. So how is football in Pennsylvania, high school football right now? What's the restrictions? What's happening? Full seasons? What's up?
So currently we're 2 weeks behind Ohio. Ohio, I think, just finished week 6 or 7. We're going into week 5. We were delayed by 2 weeks. It's interesting. We actually had 3 Ohio teams on our schedule. We were supposed to play Steubenville, Ursuline, and Connie at Ohio, but because of everything getting pushed back, we didn't get to play those games. But right now, like our game Friday night, we didn't have any of our fans at the game. There was only fans for the home team. So it's very limited. We're hoping this week they're going to expand it a little bit larger, at least up to 25%. Our stadium holds around 4,000, so we're hoping to get 1,000 fans there. But it's been different, man. Like when you call in plays and you can hear the other team calling their plays from their sideline, it's a completely different dynamic. And really just working with the young men, it's every day. You know, you got to take temperatures before practice. We got to do checklists before you go to a game. Friday night, we weren't even allowed in the opposing team locker room. We got there. We got dressed behind the bleachers. At halftime, we went and sat on our bus because it was 40 degrees outside. And I went with my kids.
Wow.
Cold. So, yeah, we sat on our bus. I gave my halftime speech sitting on a bus. So it's different, man. But it's like anything else. You adjust and you make do.
Now was that – are you sure that was a COVID restriction or were they just trying to get a
Well, it's funny, though. Week one, they came to our place because of COVID, PA is kind of different. We have a 6-game schedule, but it's only 3 teams in our region because they're trying to keep it localized. So if there were a breakout, they can quickly identify who you played and really kind of isolate everyone there. So we play 3 teams, but we play them all twice. So this is the second time we played this team. So I think there was a little gamesmanship when they came to our place. It was really early on. It was second week in September. So, cases were still high. So, you know, we kept them out of the locker room. I think they returned it. But
all right, you did it. You started that. Never mind. You answered my question. It took you a long time to get to it, but you answered my question.
It was my thing, though. It was 80 degrees when we played then. It wasn't 40 like when we played on Friday night. So
you should have thought about that at the beginning of the season. Now.
Right, yes, right.
Yes. You know we got to go there.
Right.
Let me ask.
It didn't dawn on me till we had to go there. Like, man, it's gonna be 40 degrees at halftime. So
wow.
I don't know too much about Hickory. I know Farrell is like they eat, sleep, and you know, breathe football. I mean, like you wake, you know, they're like studio when they give you a ball when you're born, they give you a football. Is it
right?
I know people I personally work with who call off to go to Farrell games.
Right.
I'm like, is that serious out there? They love their team.
Let me get some names, Jeff. Let me get some names so I can.
What would they say? What they say in preaching? Say no name to bear no blame.
Bear no blame.
How's it out there?
I grew up in Farrell, so obviously I understand the dynamics there. And if you don't know, Farrell Hermitage is where Hickory is located. Hickory High School is located. I mean, it's 3 miles apart. I mean, you know, it's very close. But it's the same way. I mean, Hickory is different because they actually have a ton of varsity sports. Like Farrell is a smaller community. Farrell's got football, they got basketball, they got track, they got volleyball, and I think maybe baseball. And that's pretty much it as far as male sports. Hickory, I mean, you got everything. You got golf, cross country. So there's a lot of sports that you can participate in. So it was a little bit different going there because the focus isn't all football. They really spread it out between, I think there's 22 varsity sports between boys and girls. So, but the good thing about it is, I think when you're winning, and you create a good culture, you get people interested quickly. The nice thing now with fans not being involved, I got a guy who donates the equipment and time that streams every one of our games live on YouTube.
Okay.
So every parent is able to watch our games. I mean, and it's in high def. And he actually commentates the games for us. And he does that all on his, you know, he's a local lawyer in our community. And he does that all for, you know, just to help out the program.
Is it Eddie Colbert?
No. I want to give a shout out. It's actually attorney Mike Joanna that does it for us. So you guys are
That's
crazy,
a Warren man. Joke. That's a Warren joke. Sorry.
Okay. What's funny is I'm actually born in Warren. So I am a Warrenite. I was born in Trumbull Memorial Hospital, baby. So
all right.
Oh, hey, that's it.
It's funny because, you know, I'm from Youngstown. Uh-huh. So we might have had baseball, football, and track. That was it. That was basketball. That was it. You know, even when we used to ride up here to Warren, we like, they got swimming pools. They got cross-country. What's all that? You know, for y'all to have 22 senior sport or varsity sport, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't think I can name 22 sports.
Right.
Yeah, Well, it's 22 total, so 11 boys, 11 girls, I believe it is, something like that. But you're exactly right, and it's a different dynamic. Like at Farrell, I also coached at Farrell. When we had the football field, you could practice for 10 hours if you wanted to because the field was yours. At Hickory, it's a different dynamic. You got soccer coming on. You got track coming on. So you're sharing time. Sometimes, you know, our baseball field is turf now also. It's a very beautiful facility. But sometimes we got to go up on the baseball field and practice because there's so many events on our turf football field. So it is a different dynamic there, man. It's a lot of sports, but you just it's crazy to see how the kids work and just to see kids on tennis courts. You know, you can go there on a Saturday at 6 a.m. and kids are by themselves working out on tennis courts. On the baseball field, getting hits in, running the track. I mean, it's a dedicated community, and it's a high school that we've won. Pennsylvania has this cup for District 10 where the schools compete, and for every sport you gain points. And Hickory's won it the 4 out of the last 5 years as far as total championships in all sports. So it's a great school to be at.
Now, that would never happen in Warren, talking about leaving the football field for the soccer team. In Warren – soccer team be out there kicking rocks around in the parking lot.
Hey, Hickory got Hickory NASCAR.
Yeah,
racing around the school.
Water polo, croquet. Yes.
It's serious, man.
Y'all got thoroughbred horses. All right, so Bill, you are a minister too. You are Minister Dungy. You love the Lord. You serve with my good friend, Pastor Locke Beacham at Victory Christian Center Liberty. Much love and shout out to Pastor Locke and the Victory family. I've had the pleasure of preaching there. He's come and preached for me. We love each other dearly. How do you meld the faith part of you, which is, we all know, the main part of who we are? How do you meld that into your role as a coach with these young people?
Pastor Todd, that's a good question. First of all, I think what's interesting is for me, I've been in the ministry for, I think, going on 14 years, but I've only been an ordained minister for 3 years.
Okay.
And that never bothered me because I felt like my calling was much more bigger than a title. And realistically, I can't tell you if any of my players, maybe some of my coaches, know that I'm an ordained minister. I don't wave that around and I don't bring that up, but what I can guarantee you is that they know my lifestyle. And, you know, one of my, you know, you made the joke, but one of my life scriptures is let your light so shine and men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And to me, it's just real simple.
Yes,
I try to live my life so that they will ask the question or that they see a light in me that'll show them, you know, hey, I want to be like Coach Dungy. And then I can point them to who I'm modern my life after. But how I take that there is, number one, is I establish my program on biblical principles. Now, the way I form that, the average person may not know is based on biblical principles, but that's how I do it. And so everything, you know, I do with them, you know, talking about even, you know, speaking into existence, what we want to happen. We do that as a team. You know, mm-hmm. I have a confession of faith over my team. And, you know, my players may not know it, but they're speaking life and death over the football team. You know, we do that in the offseason when we set up our goals and we talk about what we're going to do. But it's even bigger than that. It's also modeling that to my players and coaches, you know, how we act in the classroom, how we act outside the football field, how we act when we're competing. You know, that 4 to 6 seconds when it's just pure chaos, I mean, we go 100%. But we do it with respect. We respect the referees. We respect our opponents. The guys know they don't use certain language around me. And it's different. It's so funny. I had an assistant coach one time. I gave a speech, and he got them all riled up. And he said to me, he was like, man, that was awesome. He said, how do you do that without dropping the F-ball? Because you guys know, you've all been a part of sports. It's just, you know, you get excited and it just comes out. And, you know, I don't not use the F-bomb because I'm trying to prove it. It's just, that's not part of my language. This is not how I speak. So to me, it's nothing great. I'm just speaking and motivating in my own words. But I use that as example as letting my light shine. I can have the same effect on my football program and in my community, but in a different way. And not do it of the norm of the football field. So I know that's a lot there, but that's probably how I do it. But I also, you know, I interject, even though it's a public school. I'm not afraid to share my faith. I use it in my social media tags. I use it with my team. I use it when I'm getting interviewed at different times. And we pray before and after the game. You know, before the season starts, I let my players know, hey, it's a public school. You do not have to be a part of our prayer. If anyone wants to abstain, that's up to you. As a coach, I'm not going to hold that against you. And, you know, the last 2 years since I've been a coach, I've had no one really want to abstain. But my players, we kneel and pray before the game, and we kneel and pray after the game, win or lose. So those are just some examples of how, you know, I interject my faith into my coaching. But I don't do it in an overbearing way. I'm not throwing Bible scriptures at them. And like I said, if you asked them, they probably wouldn't know that I'm an ordained minister. They just know Coach Dungy has his faith. He believes in God and he believes in, you know, what the word says and living that out before them.
Well, I mean, that's cool, man. Cause I know if I'm coaching, I'm wearing my full collar. I'm wearing my purple shirt.
That's all you got. You ain't got no other clothes.
I ain't got no other clothes. All I got is shirt. Listen, I showed up to help my boys baseball team and coach third base in a full funeral suit. Like I walked straight up to the field.
Hey, Coach,
I
love it. Coach, with you know, all the racial tensions going on in the world right now, with the whole thing Kaepernick kneeling and things of that nature. Maybe a lot of people don't know who may be watching right now. The Hickory is 98% Caucasian, and you being an African-American coach, what is the dynamic in that? Have you felt any racial undertones? Obviously, they're the coach. You could bench them, so you ain't really worried about it too much.
No, Pastor Jay, that's an excellent question. And I believe – not only as a leader in the community, but as a black male, it is my responsibility to address those issues. And I feel like God has given me that platform, as you said, in a school district that is predominantly white. But like during quarantine, we met via Zoom as a team. We did all our installs because we couldn't meet together. But I stopped one before we started each one. This was right when the Black Lives Matter movement happened and everything happened with George Floyd. I addressed that with my team. I talked to them about what's going on. I talked to them about stereotypes. I talked to them about, you know, trying to put yourself in the position, because not only do I have white players, I have black players also. So putting yourself in their position, and then my black players, put yourselves in the position of my white players also. We brought Hermitage Police in, and we talked about race relations. And, you know, it was uncomfortable. I had my black players stand up, and I shared an experience of mine when I was at Allegheny College, which is another, if you guys don't know, it's in Meadville, Pennsylvania. It is 98.4% white, at least when I was there. I don't know what the statistics are now. And I was walking home from a party one night, actually early in the morning, and got pulled over, and it was a whole mess. And I shared that story with my players and let them understand that it doesn't matter. I've never committed a crime in my life. I don't have a background, thank God, where, you know, when I've been arrested or incarcerated, but I was still profiled in that situation. And so I wanted my players to understand this isn't about good or bad in that instance. It's about change that needs to happen. But I let them know it's just like anything else, though. There's good and bad coaches. There's good and bad cops. And I let them know we're not stereotyping anything, but these are issues we need to talk about. So, Pastor Jay, I think it's my responsibility as their coach, as a mentor in their lives, but then also as a black male don't let those issues just go in one ear and out the other, but address those head on. Let's have the discussions, and we have real discussions about them. And I open it up, and I want them, you know, to be honest with me, because I feel like, you know, as I said before, that's my responsibility to expose them to that. And obviously I have to do it in a way that's diplomatic, because I'm not their parents and they're still under their parents' watch. So you put it in a way where you can just give them the information and hope that they can just think about it. You know, in the words of the Bible, they can chew on it a little bit and come to their own conclusion. But I think that's a great question. And I feel that's a responsibility of mine to really, you know, just address those hard issues, whatever it may be.
So I know, just want to give you some good news that my boy Pastor Bowman is up in Meadville now. So he's changed the whole atmosphere up there now. So ain't nothing wrong with this. There's no more racism in there.
It's like 75% black now. Bowman. And he's doing a good work.
He is.
But so I like your take, man. Do you feel and have you felt any tension or, hey, everybody's not kosher with this, man? I mean, I'm not sure people riding around with Confederate flags on the back of their, you know, truck or nothing, you know, because if they are, I mean, we'll come up there. I mean, I am the Louis Farrakhan of Warren. So if you need a little dachshund in your life, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, can help you out. As far as tension, I can honestly say no.
We can change that if you like.
I mean, you know, I think the makeup of our team, obviously I'm a black coach. My defensive coordinator is a black male. I have another black coach on there. And then, you know, we have a staff of nine, and I have six other white coaches. I think the dynamic there. And I think, as I said, Pastor Todd, just addressing things head on. When you try to ignore things, or you try to push things, act like things aren't happening in America, I think that's where it can raise its ugly head. I think when you address things head on, I think that's when you can really at least address some of those issues. And to be honest, I have a great group of kids who are really open-minded, and really we have a great bond. And I think that spills over to the football field.
I love it. So speaking of, you know, everything that's going on in the world, and obviously these young minds are being formed, and they're being formed by what they're seeing on TV, what they're seeing, the political discourse. I'm sure, like you, I got some seniors that are probably voting for the first time. Some are opinionated. How are you trying to guide the young people? Because I was just telling somebody, just as a way of a short story, that when I was coming up, I'm an 80s baby, 82, so like my little babies, my first was Ronald Reagan taking a picture with Michael Jackson or something. You know what I mean? And then George H.W. Bush. And then we thought Clinton was cool by the time I'm 11 or 12 or 13 years old. But I did have a general respect for these men. Didn't really know anything about their positions. I just grew up, you know, this is the president. Right. Now I think our babies are being raised different because this is a much different dynamic, a different presentation at that level. My six-year-old is disturbed by what he sees, as I said earlier. So we know that young people take this in. Some people take it in being disturbed. Some kind of get their rocks off. Like, they love the drama. They love the show. Right. You know, they get in with it. How are you trying to mold those minds, you know, in spite of what you know they're seeing and taking in from the upper echelons of leadership in our country?
I think the biggest thing is try to develop, and this is one thing that I really try to do in our program, is try to develop leaders. I think if you develop leaders, people who can think independently, because I think that's the toughest thing now. And I really take, for instance, captainship on our football team is taken very serious. And that was one thing I implemented. They have to meet a very high standard. And so the reason I use that example is if we set the high standard of leadership, then when you see avenues of leadership around you, it has to match that high standard. And so that's what I think I'm trying to develop is, what does a leader look like? What do you see as leadership? And then look for that in whatever, whether it's a president, CEO of a company, whether it's your local government, your pastor, that's what leadership should look like. Let's start there. Let's create a standard. So that's where I really try to develop is not, you know, and the other thing I try to get them to do is let's learn. I had this conversation a couple of days ago. Really, my political background wasn't much of anything. I was raised a certain way. And my first couple of times I voted that way because that's what I knew. And really, I felt my responsibility. It's almost, and not to get too deep, it was almost like I felt like I had to give an account to God, like who I'm voting for. So I said, I need to become more educated on issues. I need to become more educated on candidates. And so what I really did about 5 years ago, to be honest with you, as I sat down and I looked at every major issue and I said in my heart, where do you stand as an individual? Not where does your parents stand? Where does your church? Where does your wife? Any of that. I need to settle in my heart, where do I stand? So that's why I try to challenge my young men is, what is your belief? What do you believe? What is your conviction? Because ultimately, let's go by that. Let's not do it because you're a part of a party. You know, let's not do it because you're a part of a certain religious group. Do it because you're convicted by something and this is truly what you believe in, and go after that. And so that's what I believe in, creating leaders and creating independent thinkers. That's how I think every young man or woman should be taught, raised up. And then as they get older, then they can form their own opinions on things and really become leaders themselves.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Question for you. This is the religiously incorrect portion. What's the worst part of coaching? What's the worst part? Gets on your nerves, grinds your gears, you know, makes you want to go off.
What's the worst part of coaching? Good question. I don't know if there's a worst part. I think the toughest part is trying to please parents. I think that's the toughest thing. I have over 50 something players on my team, only 11 can play at a time.
Right, right.
So four fifths of the team is standing on the sideline.
Right.
And most parents don't understand that. And as competitive as most coaches are, I'm going to play the best kid. I'm not keeping any kid on the sideline who can help me win a game.
Right.
All things being held equal. If he's not acting right, he's not following the standards, then he's not playing. But all things being held equal, I'm going to put the best 11 out there that can help us win a football game on Friday or Saturday night, regardless of your last name, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your socioeconomic background, or regardless of our relationship. So I think it's not the worst part. It's just the hardest thing. And just trying to be diplomatic about that and really just asking people to trust you that I have the best interest of your son in mind. I have the best interest of this football team in mind. So good question, but that's definitely tough.
we had this debate. Matter of fact, I know you was in on it, Todd, when we was on just on a Facebook post that I had made. And I had said, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, they want to say it's not about whether you win or lose. I think that's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life.
Absolutely, whether you win or lose.
You mean it's not how you play the game? No, I want to win.
No. And that's society nowadays. It's you guys talked about it earlier. It's like playing the middle ground. No, there's a winner and loser. And that's what's so great to me about sports, football. I mean, it teaches life. When you know, last year we won three, and then week four, we got it handed to us. That's life. Things are going great, and then something happens, and it's like, dang, how do you respond now? And that's life, and that's why I think sports is so great. I mean, like we talked about the makeup of the school that, you know, what other avenue could I have? Now, let me go back. Hickory is very unique in the instance, and it's very diverse from the standpoint of, yes, it's majority Caucasian, but it's very diverse in socioeconomic background. So I'll give you an example. I got kids who live in public housing. I got kids who live in whose parents are doctors and lawyers. I got kids who live on farms. I mean, I got kids who live in, you know, normal neighborhoods. It's all over the place. The city of Hermitage is over 30 square miles. It's the third largest city landmass in the state of PA, behind Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. So it's huge as far as land mass. So, I mean, it's a lot of farmland, but then it has like a inner city. So it's very diverse in that fact. What other avenue can you get people from all these diverse backgrounds and put them on a team or put them together and try to accomplish a common goal? That's what sports does for us. And that's life. So it's like you said, there's winners and losers, and we don't, you know, and, you know, my Christian background doesn't move away from that. And I think if you look at the scriptures, you know, Paul talked about that, you know, we're striving for, you know, a medal. We're striving for a trophy. He said, I treat my body hard. You know, and that's, you know, I hold them to that standard, but also understanding that it's not all about football at its fundamental level. Right. I read in the book, there's a great book called Faith, Family, and Football, and I may have said it in the wrong order, but this is what sticks with me, and this is what I try to do every time I go to practice, game, and meeting. He says in the book, he said, if your greatest accomplishment at the end of your coaching career is that you taught kids how to be great football players, you have failed as a football coach. Wow. And I take that to heart. If at the end of the season, my seniors walk away and say, man, Coach Dungy taught me how to run the ball great, but he didn't teach me anything else, I failed them as young men. So that's the biggest thing there, is teach them how to be young men. I think if I teach leaders, I teach them how to be leaders. I teach them how to be great young men. And then also, I need some dudes. Don't get it twisted. I can't have a bunch of nice guys walking around.
Right.
I need some dudes also. So,
absolutely. We're going to take a pause right quick to remind everybody that we would love for everyone who's viewing today to not only like the video, but share it on your timelines. Even if people come later and watch the replay, we want Coach Dungy's message to get out and talk about the wonderful things he's doing at Hickory. Be sure to like our Facebook page, subscribe to us on YouTube and IG, and even follow us on our audio podcast, wherever you might listen to podcasts. And don't forget to get your swag. I don't have my shirt on. Jeff got his hoodie on. I do have my phone, though. I even have the phone case, Religiously Incorrect. You can get that at religiouslyincorrectpodcast.com. I almost said .gov. We're not a government agency yet, but we're working on that with President Trump. While he's in the hospital, he might agree to it and not know what he was doing, you know. You know, we appreciate the support of all of our viewers. You follow us on all of our platforms, and we want to get to it. Now, we'll be asking Coach Dungy a few more questions, and then we'll be going into our rapid fire session. So if you have a rapid fire question,
it doesn't have to be about football.
Doesn't have to be about football.
Whatever you want to ask.
It can be about anything. Of course, you have to use proper language, but you can ask any question.
Don't ask Todd about his dancing skills.
I'm nice though with the dancing.
Oh, you got it?
And my kids are young, so they be teaching me all the latest dances. So.
Man, Jeff will challenge you to a pop and lock contest in a second, man.
South variety shows, baby.
He'll do everything. So make sure you post those questions rapid fire. and use the hashtag rapid fire if you can. Post those questions in the comments. You can start right now and we'll scroll back up and get to them. But use the hashtag rapid fire so that we know it's for that segment. Now, Coach Dungy, I'd like to ask you, I understand that one of the people you look up to is Coach Tony Dungy.
Yes.
Yes.
Coach Tony Dungy. Now, I know you share the same name. Is there any relation there?
So, long story. I don't.
Is this like slavery, by the way? Is this a slave story? Right.
So,
father-in-law.
So, first of all, it's spelled differently. His is okay. G-Y. Mine is E-E. But in our family reunion, there are people who spell it G-Y.
I had the same experience.
All of us have those different uncles. I have an uncle who swears that he is in our family tree. Those Dungies that live in Florida, he's originally, you know, a lot of his family lives in Florida that we are related. I can't prove that. So I normally just tell people, no, we're not related because I can't prove that we are. But if my uncle heard me say that, he would probably try to fight me because he believes, he doesn't believe, he knows, in his mind, he knows we're related. So
he knows it. So what makes you look up to him? What makes you admire him?
To be honest, he's really what I aspire to be. Obviously, I love sports. Football is my number one sport. I played basketball also in high school, but football is my number one sport. And I just love the way he carried himself. When I read the book Quiet Strength and read his story, it was just everything that I wanted to be if I ever became a head coach was the way he did it. I remember him saying, and I said this actually when I hired my first coaching staff, he said, I never told my assistant coaches they couldn't curse. He was like, they're grown men. You can't tell a bunch of grown men. But he said, in the way I led and the way I carried myself, eventually I had a locker room of 53 men and no one was cursing. And it was so amazing. I got a group of guys, a wonderful group of coaches that coach with me now. And some of them coached with me at a previous stop when we were all assistants. And the one coach, when we started, and I hired him, he said in our first meeting, he said, man, I got to stop dropping the F-bomb now with Coach Dungy. And it was so funny because I never told him that. I never said that because, I mean, you get in the heat of the moment, games get heated. But literally, our sideline, you know, it's pretty tame compared to some of the time sidelines I've been on. And really, it's just trying to carry myself in a certain way. But I saw that in Coach Dungy, obviously. He reached the pinnacle of coaching, becoming a Super Bowl champion. But just to watching the way he carries himself now on NBC Sports. But he's also not afraid to stand up for things, not only political, but just in the community and things. He stands for rightness. He's not perfect. None of us are. But I just see a lot of the characteristics of integrity, a man of faith, a man of his community, a man that stands, like you said, you know, black or white. I just see a lot of those characteristics that I like to emulate in my life. And, you know, I don't know him personally, he's somebody I see as a mentor through his books and, you know, his reading. So,
you know, Tracy says you are related. She says you are related. He comes to the family reunion and I want you guys to make a connection and get him here to the Mahoning Valley since y'all related.
Absolutely.
You can preach in my church.
It's funny if you look at my ears and my some of my features.
Oh, yeah, y'all look like
you can see some of the features. It's funny, but Tracy's more tapped in than I am with all the family connections. So, like I said, there are a lot of connections. I just don't want to be that dude. Like, yeah, that's my uncle, that's my cousin.
Every famous Johnson was my cousin when I was growing up, man. Magic Johnson, Bumpy Johnson. Larry Johnson, all my family.
Coach Dungy, we want you to know, man, if you really want to learn how to cuss, all you got to do is become a Baptist preacher.
All you got to do is come to this church.
Listen, you got to use all the words at some time or another.
It's a part of the doctrine.
Listen, real quick, I know we got to get to rapid fire, but as a coach, I know a lot of people see y'all on the field and you coach the football team, but that's only a certain part of the year. But you're a coach all year round. Those kids look at you, or you know, my coaches that I went to school with and that I grew up with, some of them stayed right in the neighborhood and they were always Coach Rainwright, Coach Cop, you know, and you love them as a coach and they taught you outside of football. You know, how is that being the coach outside of football season?
Good question. I think that's something I didn't realize before I became a head coach. As an assistant, you're in it for the season. You help out with the off-season workouts and stuff, but you basically get to shut down.
Right.
I don't get to shut down. Like, and what's different is you know, it's our community is small. You go to Walmart, you're the head coach. You go here, you speak somewhere, you're representing Hickory Hornet football. So that's number one. But the great thing about it is, man, like your players graduation, you're a part of that now. Mm-hmm. Open houses.
Yeah.
Like when football season's over, I got about four or five guys that play basketball. I got to go to basketball games. I got to go to baseball games. I got to check in on them on track. You just become a part of their lives. And it's really, it's fun to see them grow up. It's like I've coached high school football for 12 years now. So I got former players when I was assistant who got kids now that were playing peewee and midget football. And it's so funny to see them, and they still calling me Coach Dungy, and their son is out playing with my son.
Right.
Pastor Jay, that's a real good question. It's a crazy dynamic because it's almost like you guys as pastors, that responsibility never goes away. It doesn't end when you walk out of the pulpit. It's not like you can turn it off. Oh, right. It's Monday. I can turn it. No, you Pastor Todd, Pastor Jay, everywhere you go. And it's the same way with coaching. And, you know, God actually told me when I became, one of the things he spoke to me is like, this is your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
You are a pastor to those young men. And that's how I really take that. You know, I have to pray before I go in. I have to understand, you know, the spiritual dynamic that I'm working with. You know, I got 51 people coming from 51 different households. That's like you guys, you walk into the sanctuary, you got, you know, hundreds of people coming. You got spiritual battles from every angle. So how do you handle that? You know, being wise in those instances. But that's a great question. It's just 24/7, and you ask for wisdom and grace to handle it.
So do you have, like we have, and I know Pastor Todd is, he's at second now. So his graduation fund is a little bit more than mine. I mean, you know, we got to save, you know, you got to save for graduation.
Yes.
You know, because it's going to be 20 people asking you for envelope. Pastor Todd is like on a $50 level. He got to give all his kids. See,
right.
My kids are still smart. I give them like 10 and they'd be like.
Right, right. Right. No, you're exactly right. It's like, man, it's like I come June, July, August, you got to set a budget.
Right.
Graduation parties.
You got to think about who you really love. You're like, I don't even know this kid. Like, oh.
When was the last time he was in church?
it's like, wait, how many touchdowns did he score?
Right, right, right. I love it. Hey, we have a question from one of our viewers, Pastor Tatum Osborne. She asked, are any of your former players in the NFL?
No, but I have several right now that are playing D1 in college football.
Okay.
But none of my former players right now are in the NFL. I'm trying to think, but I'm pretty sure none are in the NFL. There's a couple I think that may get there, though.
I mean, if you coached Warren, you'd be able to say yes. I'm telling you. If you coached Warren, you'd be able to say yes. We got a few right now. But anyway, no, those are excellent, man. Coach Dungy, we appreciate you. Let's give it up for Coach Dungy. Everybody watching, let's give it up. Some hand claps in the comments. We appreciate you being with us. I mean, we're going to jump into our rapid fire in a few minutes, but you want to leave us with any parting shots, just a parting word of wisdom? We don't want a whole sermon, Doc. You know, this ain't your pulpit. I will.
I think, first of all, just thanking you guys for the opportunity, what you guys are doing. This is awesome. Man, and just kind of, I love the mixture of faith and sports. You know, be honest, growing up, I'm Kojic background growing up.
Uh-oh.
And I remember being young, like
you talk about
separation of church and state. There was separation of church and sports.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like blasphemy to go play midget football on a Sunday, man. Like you wasn't allowed to do that. Like, so I love the mixture. That's one thing I set out is just saying that, you know, you can be in faith, you can be in Christian, and I see it so much more. Guys are winning Super Bowls and they're professing the name of Jesus Christ, you know, in front of, you know, million viewers. man, I love what you guys are doing in this episode, and really they're just religiously incorrect. I love the idea because so many times it becomes about the religion and less about the walk and the faith. And really, you know, that's where I like to live my life is not making, you know, trying to live under the law is, man, live your out your faith, man, and what God is put in your heart, and really live that out and be convicted in your heart of what God said to you, and really try to just display that. So I appreciate you guys for having me on. I love the platform that you guys are building. So hats off to you guys.
Appreciate you, man. This is probably one of our nicest, kindest episodes, and it's all because of you.
It really is.
This is all because of you. I tried to bait you to talk about Farrakhan, and you didn't take the bait.
Oh, man.
Hey, y'all. It is the rapid fire portion of our religiously incorrect episode. I don't know if Big Mike's going to pop in here with us because he always has a few good questions. We had one that came in the comments, and I'll let our producer, Big Mike, decide how he wants to read those. But rapid fire is ask any question about anything. You could ask us something about the news, culture, the church, why y'all do that in church, why are pastors like this. You could ask something, but we don't have to talk about football. We talked about football. But whatever you want to post it up. We'll try to get to as many as we can. And we always have our own questions that we ask. So Big Mike, you know, the floor is yours. You call us out. Do what you're going to do.
What up, Bill? Thanks, man. Thanks for coming, Bill. Really appreciate you, man. That's appreciate my dude right there. Wait, which one my point?
That's my dude, too.
That's my dude.
Even though he got that Stiller stuff on, right. I'm still got
hey. It. Come on, man.
We're still undefeated.
Still undefeated.
Even COVID couldn't beat us yet.
Y'all giving everybody COVID, so y'all ain't got to play.
What's up, Mike?
Bill, I have a question for you, man. Rapid fire.
Yes.
Tom Brady. Is he that good, or is it the Belichick system? And will he do it this year?
Okay, let me answer the first question first. Will he do it this year? No, he won't. Second question, I think it's like anything else. It's a combination of both. Bill Belichick is obviously, in my opinion, one of the greatest, if not the greatest. I put Bill Walsh up there with him. But he went 11-5 with a backup quarterback, but they didn't make the playoffs. And he hasn't won a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. I don't think Tom Brady's going to win one without him. So I think it's a mixture of both. You need the culture for the great player, and the great player takes the culture over the top. So that's how I'm going to answer that.
No doubt. We got a lot of questions from the audience here. Here's one from Scott Heater. Have you ever posted, spoken something publicly that you immediately regretted? Embarrassing?
Have I ever posted or spoken something? Spoken many times. I think if all of us, you can go back to our college days and spoken many things that was embarrassing. But I'm trying to think. I can think. So me and my wife. Before we was engaged to get married, we was actually on the WKBN wedding thing. So we were part of that. And okay. So I always used to joke with my wife. We actually attended the same high school. And when we were in high school, she had braces. But we didn't ever talked in high school. We didn't have any relationship. So on air, they asked me, and I thought it was a good joke, but it was an off-color joke. They asked me, were you guys high school sweethearts? I'm like, nah, man. She had braces and everything. I wasn't. And like, when I tell you, when
we were on TV, man.
On TV. And, you know, I'm 26 years old. I thought it was kind of funny. Her dad was mad at me. My wife-to-be didn't want to talk to me. So that's if I could pull something back publicly, that would be probably number one. That was a bad joke. It was.
Oh,
it was
you just time. Said it again. You just said it again.
You said it all over right. again.
So I'll probably get it when I get off. But at least I'm apologizing this time, and I'm fessing up to my mistake.
She's about to show up in the comments right quick. And
right.
Well, I would just say my sermons are mostly embarrassing. They're pretty humiliating. So I'm pretty.
I don't know about said anything. I think the most embarrassing thing that ever happened was when I was at Agape and we had done a baptism, and Everybody went to the back to change, and there was this little room in the front, but I didn't know the grates. You could see outside. I'm just pulling off clothes. Somebody running, banging on the door. I wasn't really worried about it, but it was kind of embarrassing.
Like, this is how Jesus did it. Shoot.
I was naked. I came into this world.
Right. All right. Next fire, rapid fire question from Lawrence Johnson. Are you thinking about coaching in the NFL one day?
Yes. Yes, I am.
to be honest with you guys, that's my ultimate dream. I do believe in writing down a confession and putting that into paper. That's something I confess. So I believe if it's God's will, it will happen. My belief is that you don't try to make it happen. You serve in the capacity that you're in. And if that door is to be open, God will open it for me. But absolutely, I would want nothing more than get paid to coach football for a living. And actually, I'd rather do that. My wife always asked me about college, and I did a grad assistantship right out of college at Slippery Rock University. Recruiting is tough. A lot of people don't know that. You know, recruiting, that you got to spend a lot of time on the road. The NFL is all about football 24/7. So yeah, to answer that question, absolutely, that's a long term goal of mine.
If you need a chaplain, man, I mean, hit me up.
Yes.
Hit me up. I have my collar ready.
That's all I got, man. That's all I got.
I got one for you. I got one for you, man. Listen, yes. Age old debate. LBJ, Michael Jordan, or Kobe Bryant. And remember, Kobe's passed away. So,
So, great question. Let me start it off top. I don't think it's close. All right. I'm like Pastor Todd. I'm an 80s baby born in 81. There's nothing that compares to Michael Jordan. And I think that the 10-part series just proved that. All right. So that's number one. I think he's the greatest of all time. You talk about impact, culture. I mean, is Cat still rocking Jays to this day?
30 years later.
I don't put Kobe ahead of LeBron because I think Kobe was too much of a duplication of Michael Jordan. That's why, to me, Kobe is third out of this group if we're ranking them. I think LeBron James, if you talk about longevity, you talk about athleticism and sheer just size, he's just a freak. I give him more credit than some, but I don't think he's at the level of Michael Jordan. You can't look over the 6-0 in the finals. You can't look over just what he did, the attitude, the swag, everything that he brought. But I do have mad respect for LeBron as the businessman, the leadership, all the stuff that he does off the court. I mean, that ties in. I'm just personally, I was never a big Kobe fan. My man was Michael Jordan. And I saw Kobe as a duplication. I respected Kobe, but I never put him ahead of those guys. So I'm Michael, LBJ, Kobe.
I think Kobe suffered from being wedged between Michael and LBJ. Yes. You know,
was too close.
He was too close to both of them, you know. Yes. But I respect all three of their games. I actually agree with your assessment. I think it's Michael. I would say Michael. If going by championships, which is what I tend to go by, LBJ seems to have the least amount of killer instinct out of the three of them, just for me, because he's gone for the last 10 years, but he's lost like 70% of his finals.
Right. Is there an asterisk this year if they win?
I don't think there's an asterisk, but to Pastor Todd, this is my thought on the losing, though. I think there is a little bit different there. If you look at LeBron, I think he's only been a favorite in the finals 3 times out of 11. Michael Jordan was a favorite 5 out of 6. So really, he only had one upset. To me, LeBron still has the greatest championship of any championship. Coming back to Cleveland and winning, and then you take out the first one. If Kevin Love and Kyrie, and I know you're talking hypothetical, I think they win that one. So I don't really knock LeBron for those. I think the only bad one that LeBron had was the first one in Miami when they lost to Dallas. They should have never lost to the Mavericks because they outmanned the Mavericks. The Mavericks had seven guys, I think, over the age of 33. Like, they shouldn't have lost. But the losses to the Warriors and stuff like that, I don't knock LeBron for that. I think LeBron's a different player. I think he's more like Magic Johnson than Michael and Kobe. I think they were assassins and killers as far as scoring, but I don't knock LeBron for that. I just think it's a totally different game. I've never seen somebody be able to dominate the ball, dominate a sport, and only he could give you 25 but give you 15 rebounds and 20 assists. Like, Kobe could never do that.
He wasn't passing the ball at all. He still ain't passing the ball. He ain't passing the ball in heaven.
Right.
We don't pass to Jesus.
Right. Him and Peter up there getting in the fights up there.
Right.
Because Peter cussing and everything. He like, Kobe, man, you got passed at some point.
Right. Do we have any more, Mike? Wait, Scott just asked something, I think.
Yeah, go ahead. Can you punch it in?
Yeah. Scott asked, who's the best high school football player you ever watched play? Watch play.
It's funny. I work for Penn State University, but I'm an avid, and I see Pastor Todd with his Buckeye stuff back there. I'm an avid Ohio State Buckeye fan. And the reason is, when I was in elementary school, we had a guy by the name of Lorenzo Styles. He was an All-American at Ohio State, won a Super Bowl in the NFL. For the, I think, then St. Louis Rams. That's the best high school football player I've ever watched. Close second is your boy from Warren, Maurice Claret. I saw him in a state playoff game run for 431 yards.
I was there. Kent State. Kent State, he ran against Ignatius, I think.
It was crazy.
It is just stupid. So, yeah, Lorenzo Styles, Maurice Claret. Another one I just want to throw out there, though. I'm a Farrell guy, so some of my Farrell guys get mad at me, but a Sharon Tiger, El Markel Jackson. His brother is actually Marlon Jackson, who played for Michigan, played and won a Super Bowl for the Indianapolis Colts. El Markel Jackson, if he doesn't get, he ended up, unfortunately, got stabbed up pretty bad at University of Temple. I watched him, and he mesmerized me, man. So those are the three best high school football players I've ever personally seen. And my memory only goes back to around 88 is probably the earliest I can remember watching high school football. So
okay. Jeff, take us back to the 70s. Who was your favorite high school football player? Before they had pads and helmets.
Leather helmets back then?
I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a big Maurice Claret. You know, we stay right across the street from each other. That's my boy. Phenomenal football player from Youngstown all the way to Warren. Just ridiculous. There's another guy in Youngstown who, if I'm not mistaken, end up committing suicide. But Sean Patton was from Campbell, Ohio. I've never seen anybody, you know, played for YSU too. Won a couple championships for YSU. One of the most phenomenal players I've ever seen. And I always got to give it up to my little cousin, Darren Hall, who just, you know, came out of Pitt, played for a couple of NFL teams, and, you know, is out of the league now. So.
Sweet.
That's what's up.
Well, Michael, we good with rapid fire for tonight?
Yeah, man, I think we good. Hey,
y'all
man.
Took it easy on me. That was good.
Yeah, we did.
Next time. It's all next time.
Yeah, we're going to bring you back. We're going to bring you back with some anger. But listen, we appreciate everybody who is watching. We encourage all of you to continue. We're not even answering this question. Will the Browns ever win a Super Bowl? The answer is no.
Pastor Todd, I always tell my wife this. This is the Browns' luck. The Browns will be right about to kneel down to win the Super Bowl, and Jesus Christ is going to crack the sky. right as we get ready, it goes to 1 second, right before kneel, right. We're just going to rapture. And I'm never going to get
fans, all the Steelers fans are going first. But listen, we appreciate everybody. Like and share this video. Continue to spread the word about Religiously Incorrect. We want to continue to bring the real, the raw, the uncut. We want to highlight wonderful brothers and sisters like we did with Bill Dungy this week, like we did with Reverend Rob and Reverend Gina last week. We want to hit current issues. Y'all know it's a political season, and we're going to be hitting those current events. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be on the presidential watch talking about how this is affecting our world and our faith and all those things. We are biased. We're going to share our biases. We got to have a safe place to do it somewhere. You know, if you talk crazy, we're just going to delete your comments anyway. So, you know, just let you know right now. This is not open discourse. This is our discourse. So, but we appreciate everybody who views, everybody who likes, everybody who follows, everybody who subscribes. And I want to just thank Coach Dungy one more time for being with us. Big Mike for giving us the hookup with this. And we got to thank the wife and the family for letting you get a whole hour of peace and quiet.
Yeah, you know how it is in our houses. I'm so surprised you didn't see a kid run down here at some point.
They just crawled under our feet, man. Right out the ceiling.
Absolutely. What a bowl of cereal.
Right.
Hey, just everybody out there watching, be prepared. There might be some pop-up religiously incorrects, you know, especially with the voting season underway. Be prepared. We might just come on, you know, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday. Just be prepared. Watch out for us.
And you know what? In the state of Ohio, tomorrow is the last day to register to vote. However you vote, make sure you're registered. Make your voice heard. Like Coach Dungy said, vote your convictions, vote your heart, vote the issues, educate yourself. Early voting starts on October 6th, Tuesday. Make sure however you do it, you do it. I recommend you do it early. I told my members, all y'all voting early. Everybody vote early. Don't wait till the 3rd. Absentee ballot, drop off, go in, do whatever you're going to do. Let's exercise our rights, y'all. So this is Religiously Incorrect.
Can I give a quick shout out?
Please shout it out.
Quick shout out. WYTV Game of the Week. Our team will be on there this Friday night.
Who you playing?
We're playing the team over there. We're not allowed to say that name. The Tigers
from across the way. Tigers, baby.
So, yeah, WYTV Game of the Week. Check us out. Okay. Our Hickory Hornets.
I'm going to be looking for you, man. I'll be listening for some cuss words, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, quiet in the field so we can hear you.
Hi, Mike.
Or reading my lips on the sideline, right?
Right, right.
We'll post it next Friday.
Right, right.
All right, Coach, well, thank you for being with us. We're going to wrap this up, man. You have a good night.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, Mike.
I'm out too,
y'all. Appreciate you, man. Me and Jeff going to wrap this up.
All right, peace.
Jeff, this was a good one, man. I appreciate it talking to Coach.
Great show. Coach was great, man.
Yeah, man.
Related to Tony too, man. I believe it. I think he related to him.
It gotta be, man. I mean, the spirits aren't too far apart, man. I definitely see the same demeanor. You know, as much as I joke, you know, we come off as hardcore and stuff, man. I mean, I love his spirit, his demeanor, the way he shares, the way he is seeking to bring people together and build bridges. He definitely is one of God's great lights that we have in our region, in our area. And he might not be in a pulpit like you and I are every single week, but he is definitely probably impacting far more than we might get in our churches because he's touching not only those young people, but their families, the crowd that comes, the whole ecosystem. You know how big high school football is. The whole ecosystem gets to experience that light. So we're grateful for Coach Dundry. Blessings to him and his family, the church family that he comes from, Victory Christian Center in Liberty, Pastor Beecham. We just want to give that shout out and our love to all of our brothers and sisters. Listen, y'all, this was another great episode of Religiously Incorrect. Please tune in next week or whenever we pop up. Be sure to tune in, talk back. And until next time, y'all take care.
Deuces.